Welcome to the VSiN Weekend Morning Line on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hour number three of the VSiN Weekend Morning Line. I'm Tim Murray, live from the Circa Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. Man, we're almost to July. Wow, time flies when you're having fun. Busy week it was, and now as we slow things down a little bit, we ramp it up to get ready for football season, full slate of baseball today. It's International Fight Week. We've got UFC 317 here this evening. Joe Fortenbaugh from ESPN, who's in town covering the fights. He's going to jump on the program in less than 15 minutes. Where's the money coming in on tonight's fights? Chuck Esposito. He's going to jump on the program. Our good friend from Stations Casino here in lovely Las Vegas. But a busy day, as it always is, on the diamond. And Shohei Ohtani gets the start here this afternoon for the Los Angeles Dodgers. Dodgers around a -$1.60 favorite. How deep does Ohtani go? That is the question. So far in his first two starts since coming back from Tommy John surgery, he has gone just one inning. His last start better than his first. Had a scoreless first inning against the Washington Nationals 5 days ago with two strikeouts. So we'll see what Shohei Ohtani has in store today. If you guys have seen it, I have yet to see how deep he is expected to go here. By the way, if you're wondering what the bum Shohei Ohtani did yesterday, he just had a triple and a homer in the Dodgers win over the Royals. So the dude is an absolute ridiculous. He is your massive favorite to win NL MVP. But so far in his two starts, as mentioned, last time out, against the Nationals, he threw 18 pitches, struck out two in one scoreless inning. And then in his season debut against the San Diego Padres, he did give up a run and no strikeouts against the San Diego Padres. So 46 pitches so far. I would expect him to go into the second inning. Strikeout prop is at 1.5, juiced heavily to the over on Shohei Ohtani. Something I got to keep an eye on here. And look, I try to be honest with all of you. I am not a day-to-day baseball bettor. We've got awesome people here at the network. I know Matt Brown and Mike Somich, who always follow me with Ready, Set, Bet. Love to handicap the card. I have not been in on this under train, and man, I feel like I'm missing out. The fear of missing out here, because the New York Yankees have now hit 15 straight unders in New York Yankee games, and it came home last night with relative ease, a 3-0 final. So today at Yankee Stadium, the biggest favorite on the board today, the New York Yankees, as high as $3 at some shops. So we'll see if the Yankees and this trend continues. As Evan Abrams pointed out yesterday on social media, that this is the longest streak forever an over or an under by one team since 2016. 15 straight unders for the New York Yankees, and they're back at it today this afternoon at Yankee Stadium. It's the first game on the board today, 1:00 Eastern, first pitch there, as the Yankees will turn to Clark Schmidt, who has been solid this year, 2.84 ERA so far this season. Last time out for Schmidt, it was a seven scoreless innings against the Baltimore Orioles, who, oh, by the way, had 22 runs yesterday. How about that? Down 6-0 after the top of the second inning and won 22-8. Imagine being at Camden Yards yesterday and taking that in, throwing your hands up. Oh, what a waste of a Friday night. Down 6-0 here. And they won 22-8. So we will see what Baltimore does for an encore this afternoon there at Camden Yards. I want to get to a college football best bet. So I gave out one already. Nebraska going over 7.5 wins. I'm in on the corn. You know, maybe it's the summer vibes. I like corn, you know, go back to the East Coast. That's the way I like to look. Grab some of that corn there. But yeah, we'll get to a win total here. One thing I just do want to note, let me double check this real quick, because as we always say here on this network, make sure you shop around. I want to double check the juice on the win total there for Nebraska, because it varies at a number of shops. And I believe at DraftKings, it is sitting at 7.5, because that was something that, you know, is worth noting when you look at win totals out there in the betting market. And DraftKings, oh, it has moved. Wow. It moved 15 cents this week. You know, I'm moving lines. What can I say? No, I'm just kidding. But Nebraska did move this week. It was minus 115 when I bet it earlier this week. So out to a minus $1.30. So some movement there on the Nebraska Cornhuskers. But before we get some more college football thoughts, I did want to hit on what we're going to see tonight here in town. Once again, UFC 317. We've got two title fights and the main event, Ilia Topuria, undefeated, 16-0. Six of his last seven fights have been either a submission or knockout, going up against Charles Oliveira. Right now, DraftKings is now out to minus 425 on Topuria, and here at Circa, it is sitting at minus 370. And how about the movement we've seen on the total? This was minus 125 to the over earlier this morning, and money coming in on the over here, as it is minus 145 almost across the board. So the expectation is this will be a quick fight that Topuria, I would imagine, is going to take care of business. Let's hear from Ilia Topuria as he fights for the light heavyweight crown tonight.
I'm the best fighter in the world. And it's not that if I'm going to win the belt, I'm going to do it. I'm going to knock him out in the first round. They always used to be like this, but after the fight, you know what's happened.
There you go. Maybe they're just listening to Topuria and saying, all right, he says he's going to knock him out. So we'll go ahead and bet that. So he's going for the lightweight title tonight that was vacated. And then we have the flyweight crown title on the card as well. Pantoja going to defend his flyweight title here later on tonight. More analysis on this. Joe Fortenbaugh going to join us in less than 10 minutes. All right, I do want to circle back to a little college football because we are 8 weeks away from the start of the college football season. And earlier this week on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast, we gave out Nebraska over their win total, 7.5. Earlier this week, it was at minus 115. And then what I wanted to do on the podcast was take a look at the schedules. And I focused in on the Big Ten. And you look at Oregon, I think the schedule shapes up well for them. I'm not racing to go over 10.5, which is plus money. But what is worth noting for Oregon, no Ohio State, no Michigan, no Illinois. Illinois, a team that many people believe could maybe be this year's Indiana, if you will, even though their odds are going to be way shorter than Indiana. But they won 10 games a year ago. Very manageable non-conference schedule for the Ducks. Not getting there. Another team that I think has a very manageable schedule, I just can't get there with the uncertainty of that roster and the likelihood that they will be starting a true freshman at quarterback in Malik Washington, is Maryland. Very low total of wins, 4.5. Non-conference, pretty manageable. FAU, where they're a 17-point favorite. NIU, which, as I mentioned on the podcast, you know, week two, NIU, sometimes that weird things happen. Just ask Notre Dame. And then they play FCS Towson. They miss the trifecta. No Penn State, no Ohio State, no Oregon. For Maryland, they get Washington at home off a bye. Washington will have just played Ohio State at home. They get Indiana at home off a bye. Maybe a sandwich spot with Indiana playing Penn State the following week on the road. So schedule-wise, it's intriguing for the Terps. Haven't gotten there yet just because I don't know what that roster is going to bring. We mentioned Nebraska. We like Nebraska. What about Wisconsin? This schedule, ladies and gentlemen, just aside from what the roster looks like, so much when it comes to win totals is based off of the schedule. And I just mentioned Maryland. No Ohio State. No Oregon. No Penn State. You look at Wisconsin's schedule, ladies and gentlemen. Holy smokes. This thing is brutal. First and foremost, you have a non-conference game on the road at Alabama. Good luck. And then you've got games on the road at Michigan. Both are coming off a bye. They play Oregon. They play Indiana. They play Minnesota. They play Maryland. They play Iowa. They play Washington, Illinois, and Ohio State. The perceived bad teams in the Big Ten this year are, in no particular order, Maryland, Purdue, Rutgers, Northwestern, UCLA. Wisconsin only plays one of those teams. When you look at Wisconsin's schedule this year, and once again, I'll get into who's on the team in just a moment, but when you look at this schedule this year. And all those years that they got to play in the Big Ten West, I don't know, maybe it's making up for lost time. Because this schedule, you play Michigan, you play Ohio State, you play Oregon. The only team that you miss, really, amongst the top teams in the conference is Penn State. Let's do a quick exercise. Let's take a look at the futures board for the Big Ten. The shortest odds, Ohio State. They have to play Ohio State. Second shortest odds, Penn State. Avoid them. Then it goes Oregon, they play them. Michigan, they play them. Illinois, they play them. Indiana and Iowa. They play all of them. Washington, too, with Damon Williams. This schedule is a gauntlet. And then you look at what they did last year, lost their last five games. They went to the transfer portal for a quarterback, and they poached Maryland's quarterback, Billy Edwards Jr., dual threat type of quarterback. Look, the positive for Wisconsin is it's a top 15 portal class. I still am a believer in Luke Fickell. I think they made the right decision in moving on from Phil Longo. The air raid offense made no sense for Wisconsin when you think about how you can build that roster up there in that part of the country. I can't get to six wins on this schedule. And I know 22 straight years of making a bowl ended last year. I think it's two straight years missing out on a bowl. I took under 5.5 wins. Here at Circa, you can lay $1.40 on that. Let's talk to Joe Fortenball. It's International Fight Week. I think he was at Power Slap last night. What did you think of that? And also, what are his best bets for UFC 317? We'll do that with ESPN's Joe Fortenball next.
You're tuned in to the VSiN Weekend Morning Line.
We keep it rolling here on a Sunday morning, and folks, football season's right around the corner. If you're serious about winning this football season, the VSiN NFL Betting Guide is your first real edge. Coming out this Tuesday, it's packed with in-depth previews of all 32 teams, season win totals, best bets galore. So kick off your season with confidence and get full access to every VSiN Betting Guide, daily best bet emails, and exclusive content through the Super Bowl, all for just $175. VSiN.com/subscribe. I'm Tim Murray, live from the Circa Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. And somewhere out in this city is my next guest. It is the one and only Joe Fortenball, who joins us courtesy of our Progressive Guest Line. And Joe, last year around this time, I got to take in a Power Slap fight. And it was the debut of Dumpling. And he walks out, and one smack, boom, dude goes down to the canvas. And I was excited to see that the Hawaiian Hitman took care of business last night in a stunner. And you were there to take it all in. What was your Power Slap experience like last night?
Well, I got to tell you, it's like two completely different shows, because you're watching the event on the stage, which is wild enough. But half of the arena is filled with social media influencers who are in their like late teens, early to mid 20s. They all have their professional camera people with them, and they are all streaming live the entire time. It's a brilliant move by Dana in order to get as much publicity for this thing as possible. But like, they're all just interviewing each other the whole time. All of them are associating and collaborating, and it's like some big meetup for all of them. And my younger brother was with me, and he recognized all these people from YouTube. I had no idea what the hell was going on. So it was sensory overload. It's like the first time I went to EDC, I had no idea what I was seeing. I had no idea what I was seeing last night. Yeah. But it was awesome.
When I went last year, it's quite the event, that's for sure. And I know Derek Stevens loves it. They put up the odds here at Circa. So it was quite the night. But it is International Fight Week. That's why you're here in town. You'll be covering UFC 317 tonight. So let's go to the main event. And we've got a massive spread here. So it's kind of an interesting way to attack it. So Topuria depending on where you look, Joe, from 370 out to minus 425. We've seen money come in on the over. So maybe we should start there. Topuria yesterday at the press conference says, I'm going to get a first round knockout. We know he has either knocked out or submitted, I think, six of his last seven opponents. And we've seen over money come in this morning. Do you agree with the over money that's been coming into the market as now we're at 1.5 over minus $1.45?
I do. I played over 1.5, and there are two separate conversations I had this week where when I said that, the person responded to me by going, yeah, but Topuria says he's going to knock him out in the first. And I'm thinking to myself, am I really supposed to take that seriously? Like, is that part of the handicap that the fighter says he's going to knock the opponent out in the first? I would imagine every fighter from the history of time is trying to knock out their opponent in the first round. So I really don't think that piece of information does a whole lot in terms of me trying to figure out the strategy here. What I do know is this. I still think it's priced cheap for two reasons. Number one, Topuria is a knockout artist who everyone assumes it's coming. I believe it's coming. I bet him to win by knockout. I just don't think it happens early. Each of his last four fights all went over 1.5 rounds. That's Volkanovski, that's Josh Emmett, that's Bryce Mitchell, and it's also Max Holloway. And keep in mind, that all came at a lower weight class. Now he's moving up in weight class, facing Charles Oliveira, who, oh, by the way, has a 74-inch reach. The Max Holloway fight is interesting because Holloway, when he fought Topuria, Holloway stands 5'11 and has a 69-inch reach. Oliveira stands 5'10, but has a 74-inch reach. As good as Topuria is, you can work a jab on him, at least for a little bit. Volkanovski did it. Holloway did it. Stick your jab, all right? Figure out your range. Give yourself some time against this guy. I see it going over 1.5. So in terms of playing the main event, I see it going over 1.5. If you want to shrink the Topuria price, you can parlay Topuria with over 1.5. You can play Topuria by stoppage. I think it comes knockout, TKO, DQ. I will say, for those making the case for Oliveira, it makes some sense from a pricing perspective because in his fight against Islam Makhachev, who's widely regarded as the best pound-for-pound fighter in the game, he was plus 180 in that fight. And now he's like plus 350 here for a guy moving up in class. So again, it doesn't mean he's going to win. I don't think he wins, but I understand the value argument on Oliveira, given the pricing we've seen for him recently.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. We're going to talk to Chuck Esposito in 10 minutes, Joe. And, it's always one of the interesting dynamics of what the books want, because, you know, people probably aren't going to be racing to lay 370 and up. However, to your point, there's going to be parlays that are going to all be ending with Topuria. So do they want the underdog at a juicy price to come home, or do they want the favorite to come home because he's so expensive? So curious what Chuck has to say regarding that as we talk to Joe Fortenbaugh from ESPN. Check out his show on weekdays. He's also on ESPN Radio as well. He's here in town. He'll be at UFC 317. What do you make of the co-main? Shorter odds out there. Pantasia is your champ. He's around minus 240 or so. 4.5 is the total, juiced slightly under for the total of this fight. What do you make of the flyweight title fight as the co-main tonight?
It's been money on Cara France, and I don't think it's public money. I think it's sharper money. There's some people I've talked to that like Cara France here. The guy can bang. Like, he's got a big knockout punch. And given the pricing, I can see why people would be intrigued, because if you're able to stand and trade here, you've got a shot. He also has very good takedown defense. I think it's right around 88%, which is going to be big against a grappler like Pantoja. But here's the thing you have to figure out. In the flyweight division, you got to ask yourself, did Cara France climb the ranks, dominate, kick a bunch of ass, and earn a title shot? Or is he here because Pantoja completely cleaned out the division and there's no one left to fight? And I think it's more the latter than it is the former. Now, that's not to disrespect Cara France, but I mean, come on. Pantoja's won seven straight. He's fought elite competition. He's 3-0 in five-round fights. Cara France is 0-1 in five-round fights. Now, to be fair, that fight was against Albazi, and a lot of people think he should have won it on the cards. But regardless, he hasn't gone the distance except for that one time. Pantoja's grappling, the iron chin. Ultimately, I'm looking at him. Again, I think you can shrink the price here by going over 1.5 or over 2.5 rounds. This thing has longer distance written out for it. Some of the people who like Carl France think he can get it done on the cards. Follows a little bit of the Steve Ercik blueprint, stand and trade, try to win the rounds, avoid the mat. But if you go to the mat, it's going to be Pantoja's world, and that's where the submission opportunities open up. So I still think the champ retains, but it's important to note that there are some smart minds that feel that Cara France is the side here. I'm not one of them. Maybe that's because I'm one of the dumber minds.
Speak for yourself, Joe. That's for me to be one of the dumber minds out there.
Right.
Joe Fortenbaugh joining us here, courtesy of our Progressive guest line. Catch him on ESPN Bet Live. Also, his radio show, Joe and Q. All right, before I let you run, Joe, anything else on the card tonight at UFC 317 that you're going to have in your account?
I'll rip through them. Let's go with Dariush over Moicano. It's a buy low spot for Dariush, who was plus 140 early in the week. Now he's down to minus 110. So you're not getting the best of it, but he's coming off back-to-back knockout losses against Oliveira and Armin Sarukian. They're both guys are 36. Like, people look at Dariush like he's old. Moicano's 36 as well. So I'm going Dariush. I'm putting a little bit on Josh Van around minus 120. I think that fight should be fantastic, but I could see it going either way. So that's an action bet for me. I just want to have action on the fight because I'm in the arena. I like Josh Van. I'm going to go with Felipe Lima over Peyton Talbot in the curtain jerker. Talbot's lack of wrestling and grappling got exposed 5 months ago. He's going up against another good grappler here. You don't solve grappling issues in 5 months. That takes years. So I play Felipe Lima. And then on the underguard, Delgado over Haider Emile. You're laying around minus 140, minus 142 there. That's going to be the big one to open up the show in terms of the undercard. Hopefully we build that bankroll and then we roll it into the main event.
He'll be there, UFC 317, and are you going to be part of the, what is it, the 50 states in 50 days there? Yeah, you're going to be in Nevada today. Come on now, Joe.
So that starts today. I am not a part of that. SportsCenter looked at me and thought, we can do way better than Joe Fortenbaugh. So they went ahead and put a more established crew in for that bit. I'll be on YouTube today breaking down fights.
Awesome, Joe. Well, I appreciate it, brother. Talk to you soon, man.
Love you, buddy. Take care.
There's my good friend Joe Fortenbaugh joining me, courtesy of our Progressive guest line. You know, quick story real quickly about Joe. So he lived here for a couple of years while he was doing the ESPN show. We got to know each other very well and moved back to Connecticut to be with ESPN. And I was walking through the sports book earlier this week and they had their show on. And I'm like, where the hell is Joe? And I look at him like, is he at the M? Is he in town? So I texted him. Lo and behold, Joe Fortenbaugh in town and join me right now on the Progressive guest line. He'll be at the fight tonight and there are his best bets for UFC 317. Now here's the question. Where is that sharp money coming in? Who will the books need tonight at UFC 317? Good thing I'll have the answers for you on the other side. But Chuck Esposito will go behind the counter on VSiN.
Tuned in to the VSiN Weekend Morning Line.
Here on a Saturday morning, I'm live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. We'll get back to some best bets and also me and Chris Miles being simpatico on maybe a longer shot play in the NBA Rookie of the Year market. We'll play that for you on the other side of the break. Well, we just had Joe Fortenbaugh on. We ran through his favorite plays for UFC 317, which will be here in town. And who will the sportsbooks be cheering for? You always ask that question. Well, guess what? I got that answer for you. Let's head to behind the counter.
Where are the lines changing? And where's the money going? Let's go behind the counter.
And our good friend Chuck Esposito, race and sportsbook director at the Red Rock Casino, part of the station's casino group, joins us right now, courtesy of our Progressive guest line. And Chuck, I pulled it up. Your match of the day at stations is the main event in UFC 317. I'm curious from your perspective, and I know we still have 12 hours before this thing will get going, so you'll see plenty more action right coming in. But you've got Topuria as a massive favorite. And then you've got Oliveira as the dog. So one thought is you're going to want the favorite because he's such a big favorite. However, I know how people bet, and they're going to put Topuria in every single parlay out there because it's free money. So who do you think at the end of the night you're going to be cheering for, the dog or the favorite?
It's actually a really good question because we did open Taporia minus 360. We quickly went to $4, and then it was bet all the way up to $5, Tim, before it came plummeting down. So when you look at the early action, it was clearly one-sided. But all the late money that's come in, and actually a higher amount of money, has been on Oliveira. So my guess is we probably will need the favorite when this goes off. You're right, in about 12 to 13 hours from now. But yeah, a lot depends on, you know, with parlays and stuff, what happens in the earlier bouts as well. But right now, I'm guessing we're going to need the favorite probably when the fight goes off. But early push clearly on Taporia, but a lot of late stuff so far over the last 24 hours on Oliveira.
Chuck, how much do you see handle go up when a pay-per-view UFC fight is in town?
Oh, it goes up significantly. I think it goes back to, Tim, you know, what we've talked about. If it's an Aces game, a Raiders game, a Knights game, a major UFC event, NASCAR, Formula One, prize fights, when they're here, there's just that added element. People are hanging out more in the sports book. They're going to the event. They're on the app. It really is a game changer when the big events are here. And you know, we've talked about it many times. So many of them are here, even going back to Super Bowl. I mean, industry-wide, legally here in the state of Nevada, the largest handle ever was when the Super Bowl was here at Allegiant Stadium.
Chuck Esposito giving the latest from behind the counter. He's the race and sportsbook director at the Red Rock Casino just up the road in Summerlin, part of the station's casino group. Back to Taporia Oliveira. We've seen the market go over here this morning. Circa was sitting at $1.25. I think Westgate 2. Where were you guys at? And have you seen movement on this total, which still sits at 1.5 at your shop, juiced over at minus 140?
Yeah, I mean, again, it's been a little bit two-way on this, but I think you're going to see more over money on this, in my opinion. I think that's the way it's trending, and I think it closes higher than where it is right now.
Chuck, final thought on UFC 317 before we kind of pivot to some other thoughts from behind the counter. Co-main, you've got Kai Kara France at plus $2. Pantoja is your pretty significant favorite. He's, I believe, defended this crown. I think we heard from Joe, what, 6 or 7 straight times. So you're at minus 240. Anything of note on the co-main yet?
Kind of similar to the main event that Pantoja opened. 250 went up to as high as 270, and then it kind of ping pong back and forth a little bit, and where it actually got as low as 230. So kind of the same thing. Early money clearly on the favorite, and then there's been some dog money that's come in over the last day or so.
All right, let's pivot to basketball. We wrapped up the NBA season last Sunday, and unfortunately, you saw the injury to Tyrese Haliburton. So, Chuck, you guys do have your futures board up. Oklahoma City, no surprise there, is your betting favorite. How challenging has it been with all of these injuries when you look at Boston dealing with the injury they have, when you look at Tyrese Haliburton, and then also to add in the fact that Houston makes a big trade last Sunday as well to bring in Kevin Durant?
Yeah, no, it definitely has been from our side. I think it's the same for the guests as well, kind of the uncertainty there. I mean, the Knicks, I mean, you look at the Knicks team that doesn't even have a coach yet, and I think they might be the best team, them and the Cavs right now in the Eastern Conference because of the Haliburton and Tatum injuries. There are some teams that we've seen movement on, though. We've seen the Magic have been a team that we've seen some money on, and that, those odds have dropped. The Mavericks, you know, getting Flag going there at such a good spot because he's not going to be asked to carry the entire load. They've got a talented team there. We've seen them drop. And the Hawks, maybe from a value side, were 150 before some of the moves they made in the draft, and now they sit at 100. So still some value there, but we've seen the Hawks number come down due to play from our guests.
You know, Chuck, we're not too far away. I'm going to be calling you every Saturday here on when we switch it back to the tailgate show to give us the latest on all of those games. You've got odds up right now, NFL and college football. So taking a look at the NFL board real quickly, any teams that you've noticed have been getting some love early on in the futures market there for you guys?
Yeah, I mean, the Commanders seem to be a team that everybody likes right now. I'm not sure why, but there's such an overwhelming amount of ticket count on the Bills. I know the Bills are really good, but I think the AFC is loaded at the top. I still think they need a big wide receiver. And maybe if you're looking for some value picks, two of the teams that kind of stand out, I know the Niners have the lower odds in the NFC West, But both the Rams and Cardinals are seem to be getting a lot of love from our bettors so far. Personally, I think you can make a case that the Rams should be the favorite in the NFC West, in my opinion.
I got to ask you about your Bears. It's eternal optimism. You've got Caleb Williams out there talking smack about Packers fans. So it feels like the NFC North is going to be as fascinating as any division out there. I think you can make a case, honestly, for all four teams to win this division. So what do you make of the NFC North? Anything that you've seen from an odd standpoint there in that division?
Yeah, I think when you look at it, you're right. There's been a lot of hype and buzz about the Bears because of Ben Johnson going there and what they did in free agency to improve that offensive line and get him more weapons in the draft. You look at the Lions, and they're still really good, but history has shown us when coordinators leave, sometimes quarterbacks take a step back. They've lost both their offensive and defensive coordinators. I think in the Packers' case, I thought they would do a little bit more on the defensive side of the ball. I think Jordan Love takes that next step, and the Vikings are really good. I think they did good in free agency, good in the draft. But the big question is, you really have a rookie quarterback, an unproven commodity in J.J. McCarthy there. So I think they go as far as he can go. It wouldn't surprise me to see some shuffling of the deck the way they finish, but I still think the Lions and Packers are the two best teams in the NFC North.
Chuck Esposito, our good friend, giving us the latest from behind the counter. He joins us every Saturday through the college football season. Every once in a while, I bug him in the offseason. He's too nice to turn me down. So here he is talking to us here on this Saturday morning. Chuck, I'll hit you with some college football before we get out of here. You already have up your week zero, your week one lines. Before we get into the futures market, anything that you've seen yet come in to the week zero, week one lines?
Not really that much yet. I think, you know, we have them up and let people look at it, but there's nothing that's really been significant where I can say we took a big five figure or six figure bet yet. There's been a little bit of buzz, of course, on the LSU Clemson game and see where that goes. Of course, the UNLV story this year, UNLV is a double digit favorite on the road against Sam Houston State with the coaching change there. But my guess is we'll see significant play on these as we get closer. August 1, we're targeting for our last man standing college and pro football contest signups to start as well. So it's never too early to start chatting a little football, Tim, that's for sure.
No doubt about it. Yeah, last man standing is certainly a fun competition if you're ever in town to be a part of for college football, NFL, and then March Madness is always great. All right, last one for me. Futures board, college football, anything of note right now? You guys have Texas as your favorite at around plus 450.
Nothing really jumped off the page to me right now. I think over the next couple of weeks, probably you'll start seeing a little bit more of that, kind of buzz with college football. But it's been pretty quiet on the college football front so far.
Chuck, always appreciate the insight. Enjoy the fights tonight, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, Tim. Sounds great, buddy. Thank you.
There he is, our good friend Chuck Esposito, giving us the latest from behind the counter on tonight's UFC 317. And never too early to talk a little college and NFL with him as well. Hey, folks, there's a new sports betting market in town. It's called XCUTTA. I'll spell it for you. It's XCUTTA. XCUTTA is a sports Calcutta combining the adrenaline of live auctions and strategy of sports prognostication. Create your own XCUTTA auctions for you and your crew for any sport or sporting event. Football, baseball, basketball, tennis, golf, Super Bowl, World Series, March Madness. We know that Wimbledon, right around the corner, starts on Monday. Even your own local golf tournament. Create your own private or public auctions. And guess what? They do practice auctions, because practice makes perfect. Running daily, 3, 6, and 9 p.m. at xcutta.com. For now, a 3-month free bidding subscription. Just email support at xcutta.com. Mention VSIN. XCUTTA, the future of future wagering. What do you say we put a bow on the show? We'll do that next. It is the VSIN Weekend Morning Line.
You're tuned in to the VSIN Weekend Morning Line.
Wrapping things up here on the VSIN Weekend Morning Line. Thanks to everyone who joined the show. Busy show today. Drew Dinsick and Brad Powers in hour one. Wes Reynolds and Chris Miles, hour two. And we just heard from Joe Fortenbaugh on UFC 317 and got the latest from behind the counter from Chuck Esposito. I'm Tim Murray here in Las Vegas, and it is the site of UFC 317 tonight. Will we see Oliveira and Topuria go deeper than expected? Well, the market would indicate that, as we've seen movement here at Circa. Just take a look at the odds board from this total standpoint. It has moved to $1.45 to the over. Yesterday, it was sitting at -125. And then earlier this morning, we saw over money. Got as high as -150 to the over. A little bit of buybacks. Right now, market-wide, $1.40 to $1.45 on over 1.5 rounds. And Joe Fortenbaugh, who joined us earlier this hour, agrees with the movement. He does like the over in tonight's main event there, Topuria and Oliveira. Do we see a dog bark? Well, we'll recap it for you tomorrow here on the program, and obviously plenty of UFC 317 chatter all throughout the day here on VSiN. But we've kind of been all over the place, right? We've been talking college football, as we are 56 days away from the start of the college football season. And we've been talking a little NBA, as we had a trade earlier today, Lonzo Ball on the move to Cleveland. But also, we're all wondering about this rookie class, as we saw the NBA draft conclude on Thursday with the second round. Is there going to be a second rounder win rookie of the year? I would say odds are against that. However, while Cooper Flagg is the odds on favorite, and I think rightfully so, great fit for him down there in Dallas, we had Chris Miles on the show earlier today, and he gave us a thought on who he thinks is worth a bet in the rookie of the year market. And it was the same thought that I had. Here's a look back at earlier today on a couple of DC fellas thinking the same way for the rookie of the year. Right now, looking at the odds board, Cooper Flagg is at -185. Dylan Harper, 9-1. Ace Bailey, +950. Trey Johnson is 10-1. I want to talk to Chris Miles about this coming up bottom of the hour. I would say of those four, the one that interests me the most at the price would be Trey Johnson. Look, I'm a big believer in Trey Johnson. If you look at what he did at Texas, I thought he was a phenomenal, phenomenal player, elite shooter. And then you're going to a situation in Washington where, as crazy as this sounds, and I take my digs at that organization quite often, I actually think it's a decent situation for Trey Johnson to go into. The rest of the rookie class outside of Cooper Flagg, let's run through those fits. Your favorite fit amongst all of the draftees?
Trey Johnson in D.C.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know what his odds are.
10-1.
Years out on the street. Oh, my God. That's insane. So let me explain this to you. When you look at all of these kids' situations that they're going into, like Cooper, you kind of feel like the numbers. I don't think he's going to get the numbers to get there. They're going to win enough, and he's obviously going to have the attention behind him. Dylan Harper, okay, you're playing behind two established guards, including the current rookie of the year. Ace Bailey is the other guy I would look at. But Trey Johnson, man, he's going to a situation to a team that's like, we need the guy. We need someone to score. And when I say he's an elite scorer, let me explain this to you. I had his high school game. It was him and Jasper Johnson in backcourt. They're playing against VJ Edgecombe, who's an elite defender. And I'm like, all right, let me see what this kid has. And he scored 8 points in 11 seconds. And then I interviewed him after, at the end of the first quarter. I was like, hey, you know, like when that happened, how magical was that? He's like, oh, no, I just got a couple opportunities. And it clicked for me like, oh, this kid does it all the time. Then I went and watched some other clips from him. Like, no, he's one of those guys. When it comes to scoring, you can try to put it on a piece of paper like, is he an elite shooter? Yeah, kind of like Ray Allen. Like, oh, really? Yes, like that. Check that box. How athletic is he? Well, other than VJ Edgecombe, he was like second athletically at the draft combine. Like, you don't really like he has bounce. He has speed. He has a quick release and he makes difficult shots like Ace Bailey does. So going to Washington, it's like, okay, rookie of the year, if he's healthy and they see what they got there, that's going to be my long shot. That's the vote that I'm putting in right there.
All right. Great minds, hopefully thinking alike. Well, we think alike. Will it lead us to water ultimately for a bet? Now, once again, Cooper Flagg, rightful favorite. And I agree with that at around -185, -190 or so. Maybe that shifts. I don't know. Maybe do we wait and see how Summer League happens? And do we ultimately see an overreaction to a performance here in Las Vegas? It's certainly possible, but I think as we look at the board right now, if you're looking for a perceived longer shot, I think Trey Johnson's going to get plenty of opportunities there in Washington, a guy who averaged 20 points per game at Texas, elite shooter, shooting 40% from long range. I think he and Con Knipple, probably the two best shooters that came out of this year's NBA draft. All right, taking a look at the baseball board here today, and obviously Mike Somich and Matt Brown, who are standing by, will be running through the board. I am curious, with the game starting here in just a little bit, will we see it continue? Will we see another under in a Yankee game? Clark Schmidt will take the hill for the Yankees. They win yesterday 3-0 against the A's. We've now seen an under in 15 straight Yankee game. So let's just look on the fly here. What are the betting splits going to look like for today's Yankees game? Are people just going to race to take the under? Believe it or not, 50-50 right now at DraftKings on the under there. So we will see if that ultimately is the case with that one. But should be a fun one there. Clark Schmidt and the Yankees going up against the A's there. So, yeah, that is going to be one to keep an eye on there as the day rolls on. We also get Shohei Ohtani on the hill tonight, making his third start since returning from injury on the pitching side. All he did last night was, have a homer and a triple in the Dodgers' victory over the Kansas City Royals. So not sure how deep he will go into the game. Over-under on strikeouts at DraftKings, 1.5 juiced over for the Dodgers. A afternoon affair there at Kauffman Stadium there for the Dodgers and the Royals. All right, before we get out of here, earlier in the show, we heard from Brad Powers, college football handicapper, and I thought he had some interesting advice on how to look at the betting market to make or miss the college football playoff, and he utilized Alabama as an example. So here's Brad Powers, college football handicapper, and a little advice on how to bet Alabama in 2025. What would be your advice regarding Alabama? Because I know you're high on the Crimson Tide, but is there a way in your eyes to maybe bet them during the season?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, I bet over the win total, got a really good number. I would still, lean over 9.5. They're only going to be an underdog in one game. Doesn't necessarily equate to 11-1, but I don't see the team losing three games, in my opinion. Obviously, the quarterback is the major question mark, but I think they'll get better, more consistent passing from the quarterback position this year. How to handle the Tide? I still think there's a little bit of value in week one. My numbers are closer to 14 on that Florida State game, so that's still a little bit left on the apple there. I think they're very live in the SEC. I think that's worth a small bet, even though the odds have moved a little bit. But as far as the make or miss playoffs, it's a new market. It's only second year that we've seen this. Since that game's early at Georgia, and I do expect Georgia to win that game in Athens. They haven't lost a home game since 2019. I'd rather bet Alabama low and bet them to make the playoffs after, in my opinion, perceived loss at Georgia at the end of September.
So interesting perspective there, right? Wait and see how it all plays out. I've done that the past couple of years. I didn't do it last year, but in the Heisman market, there were opportunities to grab a Bo Nix 2 years ago. Didn't win it, but went off as the odds-on favorite going into the Pac-12 championship game. Then you were able to get off ultimately and get some Jaden Daniels. A couple of years back prior to that, CJ Stroud, similar situation prior to the Michigan game. So interesting perspective there from Brad Powers. Appreciate his insight. By the way, if you are wondering, week one, Alabama is, I believe, a 12.5-point favorite against Florida State. And Thomas Castellanos let us know that Alabama doesn't have Nick Saban to save them anymore. So they're not going to be able to stop him. That's according to the Florida State transfer from Boston College. So, yeah, we'll see if that maybe stokes the fires a little bit there for the Crimson Tide as they head to Tallahassee week one for a 3:30 Eastern kickoff. All right, that's going to do it for the show. Busy show today. Thanks to everyone behind the scenes for putting together all of our content for you guys. Thanks to Drew Dinsick, Brad Powers, Wes Reynolds, Chris Miles, Joe Fortenbaugh, and Chuck Esposito for joining the program. I'll be back with you tomorrow with the VSiN Weekend Morning Line Sunday edition starting at 10 a.m. Eastern. But up next, Mike Somich and Matt Brown. I'm sure they got plenty of bets for you.
Heck, that's the name of their show. Ready, Set, Bet. They'll be firing away. And then 7 hours of live bet Saturday here on the network, wrapping up the day with Cashing Out. I'm Tim Murray. We're back tomorrow bright and early at 10 a.m. Eastern time on the VSiN Weekend Morning Line.
Introducing the $500 trifecta. Use your GBank Visa Signature credit card within 3 months of account opening and deposit $1,000 at First Bet to trigger your $500 trifecta. GBank across the line with $200 cashback rewards. First Bet is next with a $100 deposit match. Visa completes the trifecta with a free pro limited subscription through October 31st, a $200 value. That's the $500 trifecta. Visa.com/GBank. This one-time promotion is limited to customers opening a new account in response to this offer and will not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions apply. Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis bring you VSiN by the Books, the show that breaks down the biggest stories in sports betting from the night before and gets you up to speed as a new day begins.
Essentially, if St. Louis wins that series, Dave, then you're in a pretty profitable spot to be able to hedge that National League pennant ticket.
If there's one kryptonite for Superman, it's the putter.
Start your day with all the crucial information you need to become a sharper better. Check out VSiN by the Books, weekdays at 7 a.m. Eastern on VSiN. Gear up for football season the sharp way with a VSiN Pro subscription. Right now, grab our football special for just $175, an early bird deal that gives you full VSiN access through the Super Bowl. That includes our NFL betting guide, loaded with team previews, power ratings, and season-long best bets. Plus, pro picks sent to your inbox daily, betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, live shows on the VSiN Watch app, and so much more. Don't wait. Sign up now at VSiN.com/subscribe and join us on the Sports Betting Network. Download the VSiN Watch app to stay plugged into the latest sports betting insights with VSiN's expert analysis, streaming live and on demand. Whether you're at home or on the go, the VSiN Watch app gives you access to every show, every highlight, and every deep dive into the action. Looking for something specific? Use the search feature to find coverage on your favorite teams, matchups, and sport. Exclusively for VSiN Pro subscribers, download the VSiN Watch app today on the App Store or Google Play and join us on the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.